Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Common Sense Show is what you're listening to. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thanks for staying with us into our guest segment. I hope you enjoyed the intro. If you're listening to us on KYH, if you're not, well, welcome for the first time. yeah, it's kind of hard to coordinate all these different networks, but we're doing our best. We're doing okay. This is the first of what will end up being a two-part interview with Wrecker, our federal law enforcement insider, talking about many critical issues. And we've decided to do two parts. And so if you're listening to us on Global Star Radio Network, or if you're listening to us on Red State Talk Radio and its affiliates, you'll be hearing us in successive hours. If you're listening to us on KYH, our flagship station, you'll be hearing this broadcast on successive business days. And if you're listening to us on our podcast, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, whatever, you'll be hearing this on successive days as well. So I feel it's necessary to clear that up, because if I don't, people start calling the stations and, where's Dave? When he said this about part two, so that's why I clear this up before we come in. Hey, we've got some interesting sponsors that will keep the lights on. Definitely keep the lights on. And the interesting sponsors are, one, I'm laughing because no one wants to take this seriously. We're out of food, folks. The food shortages are here. The food inflation is starting. I'm getting the report from my wife when she goes to the grocery store. Groceries are going up. Eggs are really high. Pork is not going to be obtainable in a couple of weeks. Food acquisition is your number one job right now, between the day of today and the day that you can't do it anymore. Why? Because we're being brought down. It's intentional. So we have the best durable food company in the world. There's been no price increase. Restaurant quality, 25-year shelf life, preparewithdave.com. Also, too, you have food, you have to have water. And water filtration is the way to go. Storing water is good, but that'll only carry you so far. You need to be able to filtrate water, cleanse it, because you'll always find water, swimming pool, standing water, whatever it is, but you can't drink it unless you can purify it. And the Alexa Pure water filter can do that. And if you look at the research on the website, waterwithdave.com, they tell you that they're the best, and they prove it through the data. And also, they're offering this product for a whopping 40% off, waterwithdave.com. So you got the food, preparewithdave.com, you got the water, waterwithdave.com, and now you got Wrecker, no.com, but he's got inside knowledge on how the federal government works, what's coming. Wrecker, welcome to the show. And, gee, I hope we can find something to talk about.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me back. Yeah, like we don't have enough to talk about now.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I was talking to Terry Cook this morning. I love Terry, former L.A. County Sheriff Deputy, Vietnam vet, just a stand-up, tremendous guy. And we were talking about the end days, and he told me, he says, I'm not getting any sleep. And I said, I'm not either. I had 3 hours last night. And it's just like we're going crazy because so much is coming at us. Wrecker, my concern is this. Trump has jumped off his own train, and he's abandoned the country for whatever reason. Could be a reason that's unavoidable. We don't know. But he's off his own train. I've jumped on his train. I'm commandeering it. He's welcome to come back. But I'm not going to put up with all the crap that's being done to us, the unconstitutional violations. Not going to do it. But I also know bad things are coming. Where do we start in our discussion?
Well, I guess we can start with the topic of the day, civil disobedience.
Yes.
Now, I recently saw Tucker Carlson with former Congressman Trey Gowdy, And they were discussing the shutdown and the C word that we can't use. And how, more or less, civil disobedience is going to end up happening. It's already happening in various states with protests against the governors and against some of the mayors. Well, maybe against the president, too. And, you know, last podcast we had, I discussed civil disobedience. And I'm still in agreement with that. I would just say that if you're going to display civil disobedience, please be smart about it. Don't be a jackass about it and get people hurt or get yourself hurt. You know, if you are still trying to go to church and they're trying to shut you down, I think it's time for civil disobedience, because if all the reporters can be in the White House press briefing room still 3 feet apart from each other, I think it's okay for you to go to church. That's just me.
You must have been on my website. I published a photo of reporters, and I said, why can't we do this in church?
Well, you know there's a reason why.
I know, but great minds think alike. And let me give you a corollary to that, and then I'll let you continue your thought. In New York, de Blasio's giving, 4,000 meals to Muslims for Ramadan. I don't have a problem with that. They should be able to practice their religion. Muslims, Hindus, Christians. This is America. We should be able to all practice our religion. But I have a problem when New York allows Muslims to practice their faith and deny Christians the right to practice their faith.
Well, all I can say is that if you're in a city that is not allowing Christians to worship Jesus, do not be surprised when something of a biblical proportion happens to your city. I mean, just take a look back through Revelation, and, you know, not just Revelation, but the Old Testament, and you're going to read how these things will end up happening. They're going to happen. It's predicted already to happen. So it shouldn't be a shock to us to actually read the Bible and, you know, pray when these things happen. But you should be spiritually prepared, physically prepared, and you should have supplies that are prepared. You know, it's funny that whenever the government takes supplies, it's called acquisition. But when you take up a lot of supplies, it's called hoarding. The government can't have it both ways. And I think that, you know, after this whole epidemic is done with, people will be of the mindset to prepare better. You know, you have a bunch of great sponsors with, many different types of pieces of equipment for preparation. You know, you have your solar power, you got your water purification, you know, weapons, food, ammo, medicine. Do not disregard medicine. I know plenty of my brothers that are in the veteran community that are constantly talking about their preparations for their food and for their weapons, and then I ask them, well, how are you going to purify water? You know, you live in a suburb. If the power goes down, how do you get that water? And they just give me that dumbfounded look.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to get in your vehicle and then take the risk to drive somewhere to go get that water, or are you going to have water on hand? Now, how many bottles of water can you actually stock up in your garage or in a room? You know, so be smart about that. I personally have the Big Berkey water filter. I think I have the Queen series. And here's one thing that you need to think of when preparing for water disinfection. You know, you need to also have Clorox tabs. Mm-hmm. You can read online of, you know, how many parts of Clorox per gallon of water you need. That's very simple. But with my water filter, it will process, I think, up to 20 to 30 gallons of water a day. So if you are having to boil water for food, you don't want it dirty already. You want to have clean water. If you're having to use water for bathing, you don't want dirty water. You want clean water. Not just that, but water for drinking or for whatever needs that you may have it for. So if you have, you know, say, well, I'm just going to buy the small traveler kit of whichever product design you go with, well, just know if you can only process a gallon of water or two a day, you're going to be very limited. So either buy multiple or buy the big one. I'm of the process of my mind of I'm going to get the biggest one possible. That way, as I go out to the lake, which is literally probably, well, it's not a lake, it's a huge pond, probably within a 3-minute walk of my property, I can get on my four-wheeler with my trailer, grab a couple 5-gallon buckets, fill it up, I can filter it, and then take that filtered water and put it into my actual purification water through the Big Berkey. And, you know, how are you going to store it? Well, there's multiple ways to store it. You can have the collapsible plastic bags, the collapsible plastic jugs, or just plastic jugs in general, or, you know, mason jars. There are various different ways that you can do it, but you need the ability to have water or you will die. I don't care how great of a shot you are or how many, you know, how much cool tactical equipment you got. You ain't got water that's purified, you die from dysentery, you're an idiot. So, you know, make sure you always have water. Water is paramount. You know, in the military, we used to always say hydrate or die. And there was plenty of times throughout the day whenever I was in combat theater overseas where we didn't have food. If we did, we didn't pack enough food. Or, you know, during the process of whatever is going on, there just wasn't enough food on a little compound that we have to go around for everybody. So we had to go out and barter with the third country nationals that we were dealing with to get food. Or in, you know, in Iraq, we're having to go out to the village and we're piecing together, you know, oh, I got Skittles, I got, you know, I got some, cigarettes, I got this, I got that. Maybe we can go out and get a goat or get a turkey or, and come back and, you know, kill it, skin it, and eat it. And there were times we had to do that. So on top of all your other preparation, make sure you have something that is worth bartering with. And it's not always going to be just silver and gold and cash. There are plenty of things that you can barter with. Right now on our farm, the one thing that we're thinking of is poultry. You know, eggs are going to be currency.
Yes.
If you come to my house and say, hey, Wrecker, I got this. Can I trade you this for 2 dozen eggs and a chicken that lays eggs? I'm going to have to vary, you know, weigh that cost out and go, okay, I think that's acceptable. We can make a transition here. So, you know, have those different things. I got a friend of mine that he makes his own ammo. And what he does is very smart. He takes empty water bottles, dries them out, and fills those empty water bottles with 22 long rifle, 22 Magnum, 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, 45 ACP, and that's a means of bartering. Ammunition is going to be a means of bartering. And if we really do go into a post-apocalyptic style civilization, that means that there's no infrastructure anymore. Now, some people think that we're kind of in this post-apocalyptic era right now because of this epidemic. That's not true. Infrastructure is still working. Governments are still functioning. Your first responders are still functioning. The lights are still on. You can still get water out of the ground. We are not in post-apocalyptic yet. Post-apocalyptic means none of those services are there. Have the preparation in mind for any contingencies that you don't have. You want to make sure that you have those pre-stocked pieces of equipment or gear or, you know, stored food or whatever to fill that need, to fill that gap, fill that void. You know, here's one thing else that people don't think about. Tools. Do you have a shovel? Do you have a rake? Do you have a hoe? Do you have, you know, hammers and saws, nails? Because if you happen to be at the point where, God help you that you don't, you have to actually bug out. Because I'm in the process of my mind that I want to bug in and fortify, not bug out. And John Lovell from the Warrior Poet Society put out a really good piece of information yesterday about why it's important to bug in more than to bug out. I'll explain that real quick. Bugging in means that you're going to turn your home into your own little castle, your own little fortress. And, of course, being that it's your home, you're going to be more familiar with your home and your local area than your bug out area. I don't care how many times you go to your bug out area, you're still going to know your home and your neighbors better, right? So your probability of survival, depending on the situation, will be drastically higher if you are bugging in and fortifying versus bugging out, getting in your vehicle, and going to wherever it is that you're going for a bug out position. If that is your bug out position, if that's your mindset, I'm warning you, have secondary and tertiary means of survival, your elements of survival, so your food, your water, your weapons, your ammunition, your medicine, have those things pre-staged. It also helps to have a couple sets of clothes and the means to be able to wash those clothes at that bug out location. Because if it really gets to the point in your area, like if you live in a suburb or if you live in a high rise or, you know, you're in the major metropolitan area and you have to leave, you may not be provided the opportunity to take that valued gear out at one at a time and stage it in your vehicle and then leave. Because during that point of time, people are going to watch what you're doing. And if I was a bad guy and I was watching someone come down to the parking garage or come down to the street and start loading up a vehicle, well, there's my crime of opportunity right there. As soon as you leave, I'm going to go smash your car window out and I'm going to take whatever you just had. And when you come back, you're not going to find that piece of equipment or whatever you had put in your vehicle. You're going to be very upset. So if you're going to bug in, be smart about it. Always make sure you have plenty of everything that you need, to include batteries. But if you're going to bug out, it's best to already have part of that gear there already. So when you arrive at that location, you're not already thinking, oh, man, I forgot this, I forgot that, or the only thing I could grab was my rifle and my bug out bag. So be smart about it. Always make sure you stage multiple elements of your gear at your bug out location or at your primary residence. I'm of the mindset that I would rather have a community preparedness than my own personal preparedness being on my own. You know, it's easier for me with horses and cows and goats and, you know, chickens and turkeys and all these things that I have. I can't put all those on a trailer and leave it once. So what do I do with it? You know, so make sure you have these things in mind, that if you got 5 or 6 dogs and it's you and your wife and one kid and all you have is a little 4-door car, a little sedan, where are you putting all this stuff? So if it does come to the bugging out situation, be very smart about it. If you are going to bug out, I would strongly suggest a cargo trailer. You can get them for a couple $1,000s and keep that thing staged. Keep it staged, so all you gotta do is pull up, you know, hook up to it and leave. But the other thing, medicine. It would be a shame if you have all this gear, you've spent all this time, preparing you and your family, and you get a scratch that turns into an infection, and the only thing you brought was Tylenol. You're going to be in a world of hurt. So have your preparedness items. Check that list. There are a bunch of different people out there who produce great material on YouTube. There's a bunch of natural medicine doctors who sell books or, you know, seminars that you can go to where you can learn how to collect all these different kinds of medical equipment to treat various kinds of illnesses. That's one thing that I know that I'm lacking in some of those areas, but I have a very well stocked medical area. But you know, these are things that you're not always going to be completely prepared, Dave. There's always going to be something that's going to hit you right in the face and go, man, I never thought about that, or man, I didn't bring enough of that. So, yeah. You know, when it comes to your preparedness stuff, write that list and look up what most people have and look up what some of the experts suggest. Not saying I'm an expert, but look up what some experts suggest. Bob Griswold is a great guy to call. You can call Bob for free, and he can help you out.
That's true.
So, you know, check that box.
Let me ask you this. When it comes to the demarcation line of decision, when it comes time, do I stay or do I go? What are some of the factors that enter into that decision?
So if you live in the metropolitan cities or if you live in a suburb, when it becomes too dangerous for you and your family to carry out your daily needs, it's time to leave. So if you are already hearing gunshots too many times of what you normally are hearing within your small suburb or inner city, it's time to leave. Now, if you're in Chicago, you're just used to that. Imagine post-apocalypse Chicago. That is a place where not even the military wants to go into. And if they do, they're rolling heavy. Do you have what they have? More than likely not. Not even a fraction of it. So be smart about it. It's too dangerous for you to go down to the Dollar General to try and pick up some extra, you know, things before everything shuts down. It's probably time to go ahead and leave. When someone is beating on your door trying to break in and you are a anti-gun, hardcore Democrat, you know, peace, love, and crabs kind of person, you're going to quickly realize the error of your ways. And we live in the greatest nation that has ever been created, and we won't last forever. Every single civilization, every single kingdom has fallen. America is eventually going to fall. I can't tell you when. I don't know if that's now, if it's a couple weeks from now, a couple months, a couple years, but it will eventually happen. So if it does happen in our time, be prepared for that. You know, DTA, don't trust anyone. There's going to be a point in time when, you know, there's going to be people saying, oh, poor me. Can you spare any of this? And as you say, sure, and you run to your pantry, they're already inside your house with a gun. Now, you're going to have eyes on the back of your head, on the sides of your head. Not hopefully you're using ones in the front of your face. Another thing, I like dogs. I enjoy having my 100-pound German Shepherd, especially because of the fact that anyone that comes into my home, that dog is going to tell me they're in there. That's why I'm also keeping dogs on the outside of my home, because when they start barking, my dog inside my house starts barking, and I sleep pretty light, so I'll know something's wrong, it's time to get up. If that is also how you're trying to do things, do not have every single firearm that you own locked up in a safe where you have to spin the dial a couple times and forget your freaking combination and can't find your key to open it. Have at least one weapon staged and ready. Speaking of having a weapon staged and ready, what kind of weapon is it that you're using? Is it a pistol caliber weapon? Is it a rifle? Is it a shotgun? All these various different kinds of weapons are going to have various different kinds of depth that caliber of bullet or shot will go through. So if someone is in your hallway and you decided to load up 3-inch slugs in your shotgun, and you know that hallway means you got to go down my kid's room and this room, and you start shooting through everything, know the rounds and where they're going to impact beyond it. I strongly suggest to have pistol caliber weapons. A lot of the personal defense ammunition or hollow points for inside your home. I personally have a 12-gauge always staged, and that's for when I need to go outside because we have coyotes and mountain lions and all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, that's my mindset for that. That's my outside weapon. But it also does not take me very long to get into my safe. So always have your protective equipment staged. If you just so happen to be the guy that says, I'm going to have a plate carrier and a helmet that I'm going to put on, and then my pistol belt, and then I'm going to grab my rifle, how long does it take you to put all that stuff on? Get your significant other or use it for yourself with a timer and see how long it takes you to get out of your bed, to go to where all your gear is staged, to grab it, and when are you done and ready to engage a threat. If it takes you a minute, you are going to be in a world of trouble. And so always also have a plan and practice that plan. If your plan's to bug out, how fast does it take you to get all of your equipment, all of your gear, and yourself and your family and your dogs or cats or whatever you have? I personally will leave my cats at home. How long does it take you to get all that stuff together and get in a vehicle and go? Does it take you 20 minutes? Does it take you an hour? Because that's way too long at that point in time. If you want to bug out, you need to be able to get up, get your stuff in the vehicle, and leave in like less than 3 minutes. And try doing that with a bunch of kids. Have that plan, practice that plan, and do your best to shoot holes through that plan and see where your plan is failing. There are experts like me and others where you can actually ask us, hey, can you do an evaluation of my preparation plan? Tell me my weaknesses. What are you looking at that I'm not seeing? And you can ask for a cop to do that. You can ask for a former vet to do that. You can ask for one of your friends to do that. If you were a bad guy looking in on my home, where are my weaknesses? And start adjusting and start fixing those weaknesses. That doesn't mean that you have to pile sand in front of your home and create a bullet-resistant berm, but just understand where are your weaknesses at and try to do your best to improve them.
Well, that's a lot to think about. What would cause someone to have to bug out in 3 minutes?
Well, forest fires. A forest fire at night sometimes will creep up on you to the point that very few people know. And if you live in a rural area where all you have is your neighbors and the volunteer fire department that may be 10, 15 miles away, and there is a raging forest fire, you are not going to put it out with a sprinkler, and you're not going to put it out with your garden hose. If you have to leave, hopefully with a forest fire, you'll see it coming. But that doesn't mean you're going to stop it. So that's one element. Another one could be a flash flood. My family, we lived through Hurricane Rita and Katrina. With those type of hurricanes, you know that it's coming. You know to prepare. And you're going to see the dissidence of the people that were your local community completely break down. And you're going to realize very quickly, oh man, I should have done something a long time ago. I should have stocked up on fuel. A lot of people don't think about that. You should always have the ability to put at least two Phillips worth of your gas tank to get off the edge, to get out of the area. If you have a breaking and entering at your home, you're going to have a minute to a matter of seconds. It just depends on how well the crook is. But if your home is heavily defendable and fortified, it will take them longer. If all you have is a deadbolt and a key cylindrical lock on your door, I can get through that within a matter of seconds. And it's not just going to be my foot. It could be any element of tools that I have, but I can get through that in a matter of seconds.
What would you recommend for your door?
So there are a couple different companies now that are making door jams that you can actually put into your door, and you can secure them. You can go old-fashioned, which is something that I personally like. You can just take a 2x4 or 2x6, and drill two different metal bracket holders on either side of your door and put that 2x4 or 2x6 there. That will at least give you time to hear the noise to get up to respond. And time is the most precious thing when it comes to any type of breaking and entering or any type of violent situation. Time is always against you because the bad guy is always going to have the element of surprise. But that doesn't mean they're always smart. Doesn't mean they're always good at what they're doing. But you never know when you get that one guy who is bound and determined, sledgehammer and all, to get through your door. So, I can take a regular hammer knock down your door pretty fast. You know, here's another thing people don't think about doors. Most houses, and I'm at the point where now I'm pretty sure, do not have exterior hinges. But if you do have a house that has exterior hinges, or you have a shop that has exterior hinges, all it takes is a nail and a hammer, and I can pop both those pins out of those exterior hinges, and your door comes right off. Most people don't think about that. You can buy secured hinges from Home Depot or Lowe's that are pretty well made, that are basically welded together, and that will stop most of those problems. But, you know, the ability to bug out within 3 minutes or less, you need to be paying attention to the politics. You need to be paying attention to the news, mainly not national, local. What is going on that is so detrimental in your local area that you are not, that you do not feel safe and secure in your own kingdom anymore, your house? If you feel like you're at the point where it's just getting too crazy out there, and you got that Uncle Bob or your grandpa's farm way out in the country, wouldn't be a bad thing to go ahead and already let them know, hey, things are looking bad, and if they get too bad, is it okay if me and my family come and bunk with you for a little bit until this blows over? So that's part of that community outreaching as well.
Wow, that's it's pretty daunting stuff. One thing you haven't mentioned is alliances with your neighbors. Is that something to embrace or to avoid?
Everything is always an intel gathering mission. If you live in a community, like one of these private ranch communities or a suburb, and you don't know your neighbors within, you know, a baseball throwing distance, you're wrong. It does not hurt to go and knock on some doors and say, hey, this is me, this is my family, we're new to the area, or I've just never went around and met anybody, and I just want to introduce myself. I'd like to know my neighbors. And you may be surprised at what you're going to find. You never know when that guy may open up his door and, you know, he's an electrician, or he's a doctor, he's a cop, or he's a firefighter, this guy's a veteran, this guy's a whatever. So pay attention to your neighbors. Try your best to meet them and build those relationships. It may happen, it may not. You could always say, hey, I'm going to have a barbecue, and I'm going to invite all my neighbors, and this is just a meeting party. And at that meeting, you know, you can always say, okay, so one of the reasons why I had this is because look at what's going on right now, and I wanted to see what all of your ideas or plans were in case something happens to our little community. Can we count on each other? Can we rely on each other? Is there something that I have that you need that I can supply to you? That's how you make alliances. Bartering is always a way to build alliances. It'll also put a target on your back when you have a large amount of stuff to barter with or to sell. So don't forget that. You may always have that real nice guy that is just wants to be your friend too fast. Be careful of that guy or gal. Anybody that will completely welcome you with open arms extremely fast and wants to be your friend very, very unrealistically fast, there's an agenda there. So, you know, that's just my opinion. I'm a little untrusting of people because of my nature of work. But, you know, you'll find out real fast. Here's another way to find out who your friends are and who aren't. Put a Trump 2020 sign in front of your yard. If it gets damaged, taken, or anything like that, you're going to know that someone within your small community, more than likely, is a anti-Trumper. And if they're willing to go to your residence to remove something from your property, which is still called theft today, you have issues. There's someone who is mentally unstable within your area. Dave, wouldn't you think if you had a Trump 2020 sign in your yard and someone just comes over there and walks up while you're there and takes it, wouldn't you think that person's mentally unstable? Because a normal person would not care enough to do that.
I would agree.
I mean, you can watch, you can watch video after video of these numbskulls that are doing this. And I love the Trump 2020 prank signs where people are, you know, putting, glue on them or, you know, anything that, that just messes with that person that comes over to try and damage that sign or steal it. It's pretty entertaining, but, don't harm anybody with it. But, you know, that's one way to do it as well.
Well, that's a good litmus test. I hadn't thought about that. The reason I mentioned neighbors, though, to go back to that thought for a second, safety in numbers, but only if those numbers are equally prepared.
This is true. You know, when it comes to preparation, and I've tried explaining this to people, large numbers of people survive longer than small numbers of people. Now, there are going to be plenty of experts on the YouTube comment section who are going to disagree with me, and that's okay. Disagree with me all you want. Call me stupid all you want. I've lived in this world. My experiences are mine. Your experiences are yours. But coming from my experience of being in another country and trying to make alliances with those people, it is risky. Sometimes it can prove to be very good. Sometimes it can be very good, and then you get surprised, and it turns out to be extremely bad, and you were being set up from the beginning. So, you know, that's where that intel gathering is always good to have. You know, when you want to survive as a community, think of yourself as a colony. How does a colony survive? Well, you can simply start up a, you know, a night watch. You know, pass out flyers. I want to set up a community night watch because of XYZ situation that's happening. And if there are any volunteers, please send me an email on, you know, this email, and we'll arrange a meeting and we'll discuss further. You know, that's a good way also to meet people. And you're going to meet all kinds of nice people that are out of their mind, setting up any type of community watch. But, you know, there's, in the colony perspective, let's say you have that end of the world post-apocalyptic scenario. Not everybody needs to be a gun toter. Everyone will have guns, but your what is your primary position? Are you the logistics guy? Are you the night watch guy? Are you the day watch guy? Are you the radio expert? Are you the mechanic? Are you the medical professional? You know, are you the electrician or plumber? Are you the one that has the green thumb and knows how to make a garden work? Which is like one of the things I'm experiencing right now, is frustrating to make gardens work. You know, scout those people out, because if everyone decides they're going to be the gun toter, well, who takes care of all these other positions? You know, in the military, about 1% is infantry. 1%. The rest of the military is there to support the infantry's primary mission. You know, that comes with the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the Army. You know, everyone has all these different kinds of jobs and titles and occupations, but it's the infantry guys and the intel guys, your special operation guys, who are out going and doing the real work. Not saying that any of the other work is not real. I wouldn't have been anywhere without our cook. I wouldn't have been anywhere without our electrician, our engineers. I wouldn't have been anywhere without our mechanic or, you know, our radio guys. We treated those guys as nice as possible, but they all knew the mission was to support me and my group. So, you know, have that in mind. If you are trying to build up this get-together community for preparation, get to know everybody's experiences. Hey, who's law enforcement? You know, who's prior military? Okay, you're in this group. You know, who are my doctors and my dentists and my nurses? Okay, you're in this group. Along with the paramedics and EMS, you're in this group. Electricians, you know, everyone is going to enjoy the apocalypse with all their cool gadgets and gear that they can buy off of Amazon, but when you don't have power, you're going to feel like an idiot. So if you can recruit that electrician, I strongly suggest it. Unfortunately, all you lawyers and politicians are probably going to be filling sandbags if you're in my group.
That's interesting.
Maybe we can have interesting conversations as when you're an e-tool specialist.
That's interesting. It really is. Because everyone thinks of a group, you know, that's survival-oriented. Everyone's a gun-toter. But you do need the cooks, and I agree with you. You do need... It's funny, the green thumb thing. How many people do you think would have thought of that? I don't think very many.
Well, I mean, just think about it. If you're trying to create a colony, these are families. This is not the military. This is not a TV show. And I've had to explain this too many times. This is not a video game. You cannot die and then restart the video game. You cannot run out of supplies and find your supply box and, you know, resupply. This is not The Walking Dead. This is not all these stupid movies and post-apocalyptic shows that you've ever seen. Real life has real problems and real consequences. That butterfly effect thing really does happen. When you have one situation and you say, well, I'm going to disregard our need for this. And about 2 weeks down the road, every problem that has ever happened revolves around this one situation that you negated. What do you do then? Because in real life, that's when you have to get your specialist out there to fix your AC or to, you know, you name it. If you have cattle and you always have to hire a farrier to come out there to trim the hooves on your goats, your donkeys, possibly the cattle or your horses, and you don't know how to do that, shame on you. Because that guy is going to have his own problems and is probably not going to answer his phone anymore. You know, so, you know, even with me, with all the animals that we've accumulated, you know, we got to know how to fix the animals' problems or you're going to start losing them. You know, one thing that we've had a problem with recently is root. You know, we've had chickens and ducks that have been dying lately. Well, you know, one small way to solve that problem is to give them electrolyte mixes. Put them out in the sun. Don't have too many of your poultry in one area. I think it's one bird per half square foot.
Social distancing, is that what you're saying for birds?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the aviary flu, it's real. and you'll know it's real when you spend $20 on a bird and 2 weeks later the thing's dead and you don't know what's going on and now a couple of your other birds are walking around sneezing and coughing and barely moving. You go, oh, my God. I thought I had this fixed. And now here I am on Google going, what's wrong with my bird? Well, if an EMP happens and we don't have the magical AI Google machine anymore, I have books that will tell me what was wrong and how to fix it. Now, there's another. Books, man, are one of those resources that you can always have and you can always go back to when it comes to crafting, mechanics, woodworking, electrician stuff, dealing with husbandry with animals or gardening. Those books are always there and they can't be turned off. They can't be wiped out. Now you can ruin them. So always keep them away from your kids so they don't color in them like what mine have every now and then. But books. Books are such a huge element to my survival plan. And, you know, there are plenty of survival experts who write books. One thing that I suggest a lot of people read is Cody Lundeen, 98.6. I think that's the name of one of his books. It's an amazing book, and it does not go into the realms of this extreme special forces training need to know how to survive. It breaks down in layman's terms survival and the best practices. And Cody Lundin is one of those guys that he lives off-grid permanently in a house that is always 60 degrees. Well, how did he do that? And he doesn't have an electrical bill either. Doesn't have a, you know, he pumps water out of the ground. He doesn't have air conditioning, but his house is always cool. You know, he learned through various people who knew how to make homes self-efficient, which is, you know, if I could, that's how I would live. Unfortunately, because of my job, I have to be in certain areas of the country, so I can't do that. But you can at least make your land that you're on as self-efficient as possible. You know, one thing me and you've been talking about lately because of this whole epidemic going on with the food shortages, which we've talked about how many weeks now? Your backyard should be part of your grocery store. If you have a backyard, if you have a spare room, if you have a piece of strip of land that you can use to put poultry, rabbits, a small garden, take advantage of it now. Because every time I go to Tractor Supply and I try to pick up a few more chickens, I mean, like, there's 30 people waiting. And, you know, sometimes you can only grab one or two birds at a time. So, you know, take advantage of this time that we have. Nothing truly bad has happened to this nation yet. Yes, plenty of people have been hurt. Plenty of people have actually died from this epidemic. However, the lights are on. We haven't been invaded yet. We're not at war with anybody. And considering the fact that no one knows where Kim Jong-un is, and now the rumors are going around that he's dead, who fills the void in the nuclear power that is North Korea that wants to destroy the world?
Well,
that's just one more problem.
Wrecker, that's something I want to get into in our second part of our interview, are these current events, and that's one of the top issues right there, because we know they're a puppet state of China, and China's in a state of upheaval, too. So, we live in really unstable times right now, and you're right, people need to be keeping abreast of what's going on. But let me give you a stat here out of Arizona. I think you'll find this interesting. Officially, you know what I think of the numbers, but officially, 267 people have died from the coronavirus. I mean, yes, 267. 200 of them were over the age of 65. And it's easy to say that for most of that 200, they had other complications that were killing them too. So you can't just pick out COVID-19 and say, well, that's the cause. So,
well, I mean, you know, yeah, and I agree with that. And even in my realm that I live in with the government, man, we look at the numbers. We know most of this BS that's being out there. Of course, we can't express it to our higher-ups because we're just lowly people who work the streets, and they don't listen to us anyway. But we know they're fudging the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard doctors, I've heard county officials from various states, and I've seen some of them write it, that, this death was unknown, so we're saying that it is virus-related. Well, hold on. That doesn't make sense. Because if the guy smoked for 50 years and drank 30 beers a day, you know, and also ate, you know, very unhealthy, did not exercise, and lived in a high-stress environment, he's going to die not because of the boogeyman virus. He's going to die because of what has already been happening to his body. And if you cannot say, you know, the coroner can say, well, you know, take your best shot. Liver disease, heart disease, cancer, pulmonary disease, overweight, obesity. You know, he had stage 3 lung cancer, just now found that out. But, you know, he also had a cold when he came in. Well, you know, the cold isn't what killed him. The cold is just what got him up to the finishing line. You know what I'm saying? And these numbers are being hyperinflated. I personally believe, and others personally believe, who don't get listened to anymore, to fudge the numbers, to keep us in this state of panic and fear that we're living in, that I've been preaching on for so long, that's what we're being kept at, is a state of panic and fear. Yet Nancy Pelosi has the most expensive ice cream and the most expensive deep freeze I've ever seen in my life. No, yeah. She is not coming out telling us what anything true is, but yet she'll make a video about her ice cream. You know, President Trump gets sideswiped almost every day. He's at the coronavirus briefing, and we're really never getting anything that's factual numbers. It's all, you know, well, we estimate this. And later down the line, we estimate that. Well, the estimations have all been wrong. And every single source of emergency operations centers numbers that I get, or mainstream media, or whatever numbers I'm getting, none of them are ever matching. And in the coronavirus update, nothing is matching that. Who's telling me the real numbers, Dave? When am I supposed to believe this? And when am I supposed to stop caring and go back to living my life?
Nobody will.
So, yeah, and that's eventually what this country is going to have to make up its mind is, I'm going to be mad as hell and not take it anymore, yeah. And I'm going to keep my business open past six, or live the life we're living right now. You know, I mean, I love the fact that I'm seeing protests. I love the fact that I'm seeing Americans get outside and say, whoa, 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 you work for me. You cannot keep we the people in lockdown forever because people are losing their jobs. You know, families are being destroyed right now. You know, the kids aren't, the kids are all at home. That means some of the parents have to be at home.
Yeah, they're losing it.
And maybe if, yeah, I mean, everyone's losing their mind right now. And still, no one is telling us when are we going to be able to be lifted from this personal lockdown.
That's not the goal. The goal is not recovery. The goal is governmental destruction and New World Order takeover. And we can debate that in part two. Right now, my friend, we are up against it for the end of this segment. We've been joined by Wrecker, federal law enforcement insider, and we've been sharing perspectives on really what amounts to preparation for what is likely coming our way. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Wrecker, hold tight.